You know him from Dancing with the Stars. You may have even known that he had a brief political career. I kid. We love Sean Spicer and honored to have him. He has a new book coming out, which we're going to talk about. And he was President Trump's first press secretary. He was White House communications director. He'd been at the RNC before that. And now he's on Newsmax. And we are delighted he's with us now. Sean, your book says, Leading America, President Trump's Commitment to People, Patriotism, and Capitalism. Sounds to me like you left the White House, but your heart is in a Trump presidency for four more years.
Absolutely. Yes. But it's not just in a Trump presidency. I think that, you know, I've been in politics. You mentioned that just a second ago for a long time. And I truly believe that, like, what we're seeing in terms of the choices that we have for this election is like nothing I've seen in my lifetime. There is a radical difference in the agendas and the policies and the direction that our country is going to go in, depending on who we elect or reelect this November. And so I kind of, the whole idea of the book is to lay out all these different areas and what's at stake and why we need to fight, frankly. And I think it's funny because I don't know about you, but I as a conservative, sometimes I feel like we're whining. Like I'll say, you know, I can't believe the way we got treated. I had this thing on my show yesterday where I showed the front page of the Washington Post when Justice Antonin Scalia died versus what they had on the front page of the Washington Post when Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away. And it was just a stark contrast. And I know sometimes, but I don't think that people sometimes fully appreciate the full scope of it in terms of what happens in the educational system to indoctrinate children. What happens in corporate Hollywood, in the corporate world, what happens in Hollywood, what happens in big media and entertainment and tech in terms of the decisions get made that influence our society. And so I finally just started putting it all down on paper because I thought, this is what's at stake right now. And I don't think there are people who say, oh, it really doesn't matter who wins or, you know, I don't like Trump's tweets or whatever it is. And I'm trying to say to folks, understand the totality of what's at stake and what's on the ballot this agenda this year.
Well, you're absolutely right. And let's take a good example. Last week we had the UAE deal. We had the Bahrain deal and the media just sort of pretended it didn't happen. Those are historic deals, not just for those countries, but for the region and the world that presidents before him were unable to do. But if you don't tell people about it and they don't know, it's almost as if it didn't happen. And it's infuriating.
Well, the other thing, Michael, it's not just what I think is fascinating to me is it's. You know, I was talking about this on the show the other day. We had a bunch of folks that were analyzing the Jewish vote, and we're doing this all week. So we had the Catholic vote. We're going to talk about LDS this evening. We're going to look at the evangelical vote. And they were going over all these accomplishments the president had done for people who care about Israel. And I was like, why isn't that translating? Like, it's amazing. We talk about the black community and his you know, the record amount of money that he's put towards historically black colleges and universities. The First Step Act, empowerment zones, the lowest unemployment rate. And at some point, if you really care about certain issues and policies, you have to be willing to open your eyes up a little and say, okay, wow, I may not like some of the stuff that he says, but he really has accomplished a lot for what I care about, depending on where, you know, whether you're a veteran, whether you're a small business owner, whether you care about education. And that should matter.
It should matter. It should matter if truth matters. You served as the first White House press secretary under this president, and he's grown a lot in 4 years into the presidency. I don't know that anybody's truly prepared, but he's really grown into the role. You were there at the nascent phases. Talk to me about those early days in the White House when the media, the FBI, the Democrats were all out to get y'all, and you're still trying to figure out where the restrooms are.
Yeah, look, I think you're right. Trump came to this presidency as a disruptor, and he wasn't looking to be in the mold of everyone before him. And we were new. We were not a group of folks that had worked together for a long time. So if you think about, you know, Bill Clinton had been governor for a while, Barack Obama had been a senator, George Bush had been a governor. We were kind of this hodgepodge team that got thrown together because we wanted to help the president implement this new agenda. And you know, we made some mistakes. I don't think we coordinated as well to some degree, but it was different. It was new. And I think the results in the long term speak for themselves. So it was definitely something I'd served in the Bush White House. And this was something completely different. And I, like I said, I keep going back to this idea that the end of the day, everyone wants to focus on style and not the substance and the results. And I think that's a mistake.
Well, it is. And people will say to me, I don't think Biden would do a good job, but I just wish, you know, Donald Trump's tweets bother me. And I say, I tell you what, he's not going to change. How about you get off Twitter? And then we can solve this, right? This is bigger than stupid tweets. I mean, come on already. What was your proudest moment as press secretary and communications director under President Trump?
That's, you know, I have been out for 2.5 years, almost 3 years, gosh. And no one's asked me. I had some great personal moments where I got to bring my family to the White House and share the experience.
That's awesome.
But I will tell you the two things that I thought were great for us was when we got Neil Gorsuch over the finish line and the way that we got tax reform moving. The Gorsuch thing I loved just because it was like having a front row seat to history in a way that very few people do. Just there's not that many. Trump's going to have 3 picks already, but most presidents don't have that many. Most people don't have a role to play. So that was pretty cool. The second was I was at the infancy of getting everything ready for tax reform.
Yep. That happened in December that year.
And it happened. But the thing that was fascinating is I had worked on the Hill. I had worked at the RNC. I had worked in the Bush White House. I knew kind of how to pull everyone together in terms of, and I'd watched what we had done, not well, on healthcare. And then to watch that happen, and people kept saying, it's not going to get done. There's no way you can do that in that short of a time span. And to watch it happen and think, okay, I wasn't there for the end of it, but I was there at the beginning. It was a really cool thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I remember Nancy Pelosi saying it was peanuts. It wasn't peanuts to me. It wasn't peanuts to the people I know.
Crumbs.
It wasn't peanuts to working
Crumbs.
Class people. It accelerated the economy's growth in an explosive manner. And it is truly historic. It wasn't covered that way, but it's truly historic what happened in December of that year, which I know you'd been working on the whole year.
Yeah. I mean, look, it keeps going back to this point, but I think we're dancing on the head of the same pin here, that people have to look at where the economy was, what the direction of the country was, and you have to admit to yourself, regardless of your political positions, that this president actually got things done and the country was moving in the right direction. You may not like a lot of the policies, but you can't. The thing that was so beautiful about Trump, too, was I remember during my tenure as press secretary, people would say, you know, he's moving the embassy to Jerusalem. He's getting out of the Iran agreement. And I'm like, so you guys are basically flabbergasted that someone came to Washington and kept their word.
Right. Yeah, nothing more. Sean Spicer is our guest. The book is Leading America, President Trump's Commitment to People, Patriotism, and Capitalism. We'll continue this conversation coming up. A quick reminder, you can get your Michael Berry Show merchandise, gear, you name it, at michaelberryshow.com. Click on it. T-shirts, mugs, pins, bumper stickers, all sorts of fun stuff. 10% goes to Camp Hope, our residential treatment center for veterans with PTSD. The other 90% of profits will be donated or given or earned by Chad Nakanishi and Ramon Robles. It's our way of creating kind of a virtual tip jar for those two. So thanks for everything you buy on there. It goes to a great cause. Sean Spicer is our guest. You'll see him on Newsmax TV. He's written a new book, which you can pre-order. Now, it'll be available October 13th. The book is entitled Leading America, President Trump's Commitment to People, Patriotism, and Capitalism. He was, of course, the first press secretary under President Trump for that tumultuous first year when it seemed like everyone was out to get the president. The FBI investigations, Flynn, Carter Page, who we talked to yesterday, and he was there in the bunker as it was happening. Do you look back now and say to yourself, you know, it was a lot tougher during those first 6 months because now I feel like the president really has his legs under him. He really has his footing, and it's a lot harder for them to land punches on him because now he's figured out who are his friends and how to move the needle and what he needs to do and not do, and it just feels like it's a little easier for him today.
It does. I think you're right, though. He's found his footing. He's found what works for him, but also, and is equally important for the staff, they've seen what works for him and what doesn't, right? So when I was there at the beginning, we were kind of running through a traditional mold. Well, the president always does this. This is how it always happens. This is how it's usually worked. And we needed time for the president to break some of those molds and say, I don't really care. this is what I want to do. This is how I want to do it. I'm not going to do it just because they did it. It took a little while for us to, you know, for him to find his groove and for us to adjust to that. And so I think you're right, though. He has found his footing. People who are around him know how he operates. They can adjust accordingly. And he knows who's with him, who's against him, and how to operate in a much more effective and decisive way.
It is interesting to watch his growth in the role as president. I was a Ted Cruz guy. I was not a Donald Trump guy. I didn't believe he would do this well. I didn't think he would govern as a conservative, but he has. But I have to say, you know, for a guy that you had not seen in a political role, we knew George Bush could do this. He'd been governor of Texas, right? But for a guy that had been very much on the outside, to see how he brought his style in and still managed to make that work within this swamp, I've been blown away. I've been truly, I admire what he has done.
Look, I think you're right. I mean, there was a lot of like, is he just saying the right things? Washington has been full of people who will say whatever you want to say. And think about it, regardless of president, regardless of party, people have come to this town saying, if I'm elected, I will do this. I won't raise your taxes. I will implement this, whatever it is. And somehow they always weasel out of it for this reason or another. And some of them are valid and some of them aren't. But this president actually has come and delivered on what he said he would do. And somehow that's a unique thing, to take someone who, you're right, was untested, who was unknown, and to have the results that we've had has been somewhat unbelievably refreshing.
You know, what's interesting is, let's take Jeanine Pirro's new book. She says, "Don't lie to me and stop trying to steal our freedom." Most of these books that are coming out now are about what the left is doing and how problematic that is. You have taken a more aspirational tone of leading America, President Trump's commitment to people, patriotism, and capitalism. Was that intentional? Was that just what happened? Did you feel like, hey, look, he's not just not Joe Biden. He's doing a great job. Let's talk about the good he's doing.
I love the way you just phrased that, because, you know, I've thought about that since we've gone to press on the book, because I think what normally sells is the negative, right? And it's and so there have been times, but I was like, but it's not me. I am sort of a like glass half full kind of guy, where I'm thinking to myself, we should be for something. We should be talking about why our agenda is better, why the conservative way is smarter, and frankly, how to be effective when we fight, as opposed to woe is me and whining and saying this is the thing. And so I think I wanted to basically lay out the idea that, like, we have a vision to go forward. And if you stay focused on it, on what's important and how to do it. And like I said, the thing that I really wanted to do in the book, in a large part, was to expose what's going on, because there is a subtle indoctrination and agenda in all of these big aspects of our society today, as I mentioned, whether it's education or Hollywood or big tech or corporate America. And they're basically subtly telling you, this is what you should be, this is what you should believe. And think about it, just the other day, ABC News had this big special. It's called like VOMO, Vote or Miss Out. And it was like they had liberals, Democrats, and people who hate Trump, and they called that bipartisan. And they kept saying, it's so important you vote, it's so important you vote, so much is on the line. Well, what's the subtext of what they're really saying? Get rid of Donald Trump. Like, it's not this altruistic, we just want all Americans to vote. What they really are telling you is, we want to make sure we get rid of Trump. And that's the subtle message that's in so much of our society. They're anti-conservative, anti-Christian values, anti-Trump, but it's all this stuff. And I think sometimes when you see it in bits and pieces, you don't fully appreciate the totality that it comes at us as individuals, because I started to do a whole chapter on education and starting to realize what some of these kids, you wonder why kids are liberal. When you start seeing the courses that they're learning and what teachers are doing in so many classrooms around the country, you go, no kidding.
Sean Spicer is the author of Leading America, President Trump's Commitment to People, Patriotism, and Capitalism. It'll be available at bookstores October 13th. You can pre-order it now. Give me a little insight, a little color, for your relationship with the president. You know, you were the person going out and taking the hostile questions from the media. Talk about how y'all fashioned that message, because I've never seen a president in my lifetime as engaged. He is his own consultant. He is his own guy for messaging and all those. And I honestly don't think there's a consultant out there that has the gut for his message the way he does, but he had to convey that to you. So how did that work?
Yeah, so to the point that you're making, it's an inverse relationship that's flipped on its head. Normally, I and, you know, other consultant types would tell the candidate or the principal, you know, okay, here's how we should say this, here's what we should do. And it was quite the opposite with Trump. He'd call you in and say, okay, when you get asked about this, here's how I want you to say, here's what I want you to say. And what there was a learning curve at the beginning where we would sit down and start to go out and talk about policies and issues. And what happened was, and I learned that it's baptism by fire, where I'd get called in and they'd say, you know, Sean, and I'd go in and start to say, okay, Mr. President, I'm going to go out and brief, or I'm going to go out and do this. And we would sit down and he would say, and I'd say, okay, these are the 10 questions that you're going to get or that I'm going to get on your behalf. How do you want me to answer them? He'd say, okay, on this, say that I, you know, haven't made up my mind on this, or on this one, say that I don't agree with the current policy. But he was very specific about how he wanted you communicating his policies and his beliefs.
You know, I love that because you get the sense, and certainly Joe Biden, giving an interview to Telemundo yesterday, said, I lost that line, you know, where he's reading from the teleprompter. This president is saying the things that he thinks. I think that's why it's so easy for him to live up to the campaign promises, because they came from him. He's not being advised one day by someone, and when he fires him, well, I never stood for that anyway. He's basically, you know, drafting his own ideas from his gut, and so it's very easy when he's done for him to do that. Sean Spicer, you are a great guest. I've always been fascinated by your career. It's fantastic how you came in from the RNC. You can see him on Newsmax, host of Spicer and Company. He's the former press secretary in the book, which will be available very soon, October 13. You can pre-order it now. It's called Leading America, President Trump's Commitment to People, Patriotism, and Capitalism. Please come back and join us.
Michael, anytime. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Thank you. Sean Spicer.